Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to all my saints and friends throughout the world. Amen. Welcome to another exciting chapter of Training Day. I'm looking forward to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Amen. You know, it's just such a marvelous blessing to be able to live life in the comfort of knowing that with all the drama going on, that we are secure. We are protected by God. We are blessed by God. I mean, we have at our disposal His resources, regardless of the situation. You know, I've been through this before, and I didn't know what I know now. And, you know, somewhere in the Word of God, it says that God winked at sin. You know, when you're in the growth process, you know, God doesn't, in other words, He doesn't hold a, just like we would not hold a 2-year-old to the same level of responsibility as a 40-year-old. You know, God's the same way. But He walked me through that process, and that's when I really began to see what I had. Because like I've said, and I'll say it again, I've never been unemployed more than 6 months since I've been saved, since I got out of high school. You know, and now that I understand how to access the power of God, I'm not concerned at all. I mean, you know, we got many Bible references of showing of God prospering obedient people. That's the key to this. That's the key to this, being submissive to God. And with God, you know, I just recently told somebody, he'd been telling me to share with people, get right. Even if you ain't been right the last 10 years, get right now. God said He'll cast everything from your past the last 10 years, as far as east from the west, never to be remembered no more. Let's go before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the blood that washed us and made us whole and cleansed us. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, amen, that leads and guides and comforts us. We thank You for Your word, amen, which is a light unto our feet, to guide us to the place that You want us to be. Father God, we're asking Your blessing upon each and every member and each and every household today. Lord, continue to let Your angels encamp around about them, protecting them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Strengthen them with might in their inner man. Bless the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they'll know what is the hope of Your calling. What is the great and exceeding power that You have made available for those of us to submit to You, Lord? Lord, I ask that You bless each and every one of us with the knowledge of Your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before You and be fruitful in every good work. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of You, Lord. We ask that You continue and bless this service. We ask Your blessing, amen. Now, even all the different ministries, and particularly Pastor O, amen, for sharing and blessing with us, and we thank You for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to Training Day. And knowing, I hope, you know, I meet new people. I make it a point to meet people, particularly young people. You know, when I really started this, the goal was to reach the millennials and Gen Z. They are different. They're learning something right now. And this is really will help them because, you know, a lot of people have been, you know, the Bible tells us to get knowledge, but it says above all that, get wisdom, because, you know, wisdom is, as I was told, the right use of knowledge. Now, we're on this earth, so it's incumbent for us to know about this earth and to know what's going on, and we should know. You know, somebody's got to be teaching on the difference between a talent and a gift, okay? You're born with an ability. Some things are natural for you. I was surprised to find out how natural it was for me to be a police officer, and I wanted to be an engineer. And one thing I noticed that some people say you don't work hard enough at it, but you know what? It's like I was hitting walls. And it's really amazing. I'm still doing that, pursuing engineering in a different way, but now at a different time. And the beauty of having a relationship with God, time is irrelevant. It really is, you know, because this is one of my favorite scriptures, or one of my dominant scriptures in my mind is Romans 1:20, and it said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even as eternal power in Godhead, which is one of the premises for this format of training day, to use modern reference points to help us understand what God is doing. You know, that's why they exist. See, you know, God could have did, angels didn't go through this process. They weren't born. They didn't go through their mother's womb. They didn't grow up as children. They never went through what we went through. They don't have emotional experiences that we have. They learn by observation. And they still, you know, in the Psalms it says, what is man that you are so mindful of? And the angels ask them, like, Lord, what is, these folk is some of the goofiest, craziest people. But at the same time, they're learning something, because man is a God-class creature, small g, O-D, magistrate, leader, authority. And if you remember in my last teaching, we talked, we'll be going back there through Genesis. Man is in charge. He's in charge under the guidance of God, because the whole process is for us to become godlike. And I know people, they try, Satan is, he's had time to understand psychological warfare. So he tried to label us goody two-shoes and, you know, trying to be too right. No. Tell them you're trying to understand what God is doing. And if they don't have the revelation, tell them to ask for it and hope that they haven't been rejected for God. I noticed lately I've been telling people that, I don't know, you might want to ask God why he rejected you. You know, it's amazing that people, they never thought of it that way. You know, but that ain't even the case. I always send people to God. I remember when I got here. I remember how this is how this thing worked. This is how this worked. You pray for somebody, and God ministers to them, see. Now, they don't just get a revelation. That revelation begins with your prayer. I'm not teaching on that just yet. But that is part of the process, because we are in charge. Amos 3:7, God said he won't do nothing in the earth unless he share it with his prophets. He don't, because it's like if I own a building and I lease out apartments, while I lease, everything that I lease, when you lease a car, it's yours. You have control of it. They cannot tell you where to drive. They can set limitations on what you can do. But bottom line, you can drive that car all over the United States. Now, you're responsible for the condition of it. You're responsible for what happens while you're in it. And that's what it is. Our lease is about to expire. One of my primary goals is for the millennials. See, because I know in colleges, they love to ridicule the Bible. And that happens because Christians are so ignorant. They don't know the Word of God. And that's the exemption to that is new Christians. You know, they just getting started. But people been in the body of Christ for 40 years and you still haven't read the whole New Testament. You don't take this thing serious. You never ask God what is going on. I tell that to people all the time. It's three things I never get a response on almost 97% of the time. Number one, did you ask God about it? People believe things because it sounds good and it makes sense to them. They don't stop and ask God about it. They should. That's why, you know, if people had to stop and ask God about it, I don't think it would be so many doctrines out there. Because when I approached God back in 19, must have been 75 or something, I'm like, I called him every name I could think of, Buddha, God, Jehovah, Allah, whoever you are. You know, my words were, if you don't make this clear to me, if you don't reveal yourself to me, then I'm going to do like everybody else and do my own thing. Because look what I came into a world with Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and these folks, then they couldn't tell me what that meant. But everybody say they're Christian. Then when I finally, when God opened my eyes and I sat down and I read the word, and I only seen the word Christian in the Bible three times. I ain't seen none of that. I seen Presbytery. Presbytery is the laying on of hand, the transference of authority. And people don't know what's going on, but they don't seek it. We focus too much on seeking the temporal. Now, true enough, you got to have a job, like I was saying, you got to go to school, and these days everybody got to go to school. It's, you know, the more you know, the easier this life can be. It is no guarantee, as people are finding that out now. But even right now, and the Bible puts your mind in a position where God can bless you. A lot of times what stops people is pride. The Bible, if you cross-reference the word pride, if you have one of them Bibles that gives you a concordance and pull up the word pride, you won't see nothing good about it, because pride is where you will not go to God about it. And you never get to the place where you stop being subject to God. That's a continuum, because the whole point of this life is for you to have power while in submission to God. You got to see this thing. See, again, like I said, if you look at this religiously is I will remember some scripture that sound good, but I really want to examine them. I really want to look deep into them and see how they actually impact my life. That's religion. I know people can quote scripture. Satan quotes scripture. He quoted, you know what, people say he misquoted scripture. No, he perverted scripture, but he didn't misquote it. There's the right time and the right place for everything, and he know that. He know how to pervert it, see, because the agenda is, look at what, you can see he always get people into idolatry, getting them focused on the now. And this thing is eternal, you know. And the Lord put it on my heart to say this, because a lot of people, you're here on purpose. Whenever doesn't matter how we got here. Some of us got here intentionally. Our parents brought his, you know, with most of the time it was the women. They intended to have a baby, because they it's just part of their nature. It's because that part of love God put in them when he split them up and he made Adam and Eve. There's a compassion of God that comes with women to all we just want to give. And men have to really learn that. That's the challenge, see. But the thing here is that you never want to be disconnected from God, because at the end of the day, it all goes back to it. You're learning power. Now, because our base scripture is 1 John 3:2. It says, although it does, beloved, we are the sons of God, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. You know, I mean, when he opened that up to me, I think it was like 3 days of talking. He had me looking at some things that I had never, you know, we read, see, this is what I mean about religion. We read stuff, but what did that really mean? And it's so many things in there that we should know. We shall be like he is. I want another one off of that, because God always backs up whatever he say. I believe I mentioned this one in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And in the NIV it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And I might go back when you're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when Jesus is on the earth, and even when, particularly take note of what is happening. And again, don't look at it religiously. Look at it from a point of a person having access to power that bring about molecular changes in people's bodies and in situations. Think about that. I mean, we spend a lot of time. We got an industry. We have the medical industry. But Jesus showed us that we have within us that ability, okay? Even when we do it from a scientific point of view and we make medications, and we're still accessing authority and power. We're still dealing with microscopic entities, and we try to guide them, perform a task. Think about that when you take a pill. You know, you should look under a microscope and see what is happening. See, this really helped me to see some things in a deeper way. Or see what is really happening. Now, man's intelligence, although we've done research to gain the knowledge that we have, it is really so minute compared to what is. Remember, when you go back, God put his spirit in Adam. So that ability has been there all along. God has been able to he is able to control the amount of knowledge that comes forth, because one, there's a dangerous side. We do stuff and we don't really think about the consequences. Look at what we're dealing with in pollution. Do you know one of the first cars ever made was electric cars? Now all of a sudden we're making a big deal out of electric car because a few people got caught up in the greed of using oil, which has other purposes, such as making plastic, to accumulate mass amounts of idols, stuff that does nothing, stuff that they think they use to represent themselves to the public as some type of superior person, because I have accumulated some molecularly altered pieces of material that it only have value because we say so. Just think about what I just said. And look at the condition of the world. Right now, I love what is happening right now. God has just put all the idols and idolatry on hold. And they can't, you know, and people that whose God is their God, it's like just marveling. They're like, man, God is something else. The whole world is on hold. They trying to break forth, okay? They trying to break forth. But they and some of us, you know, stop and like, okay, God, what you up to? Let me get with you because you got the program. All this is about, because we had a wrap. All the men of God, all the prophets and prophetesses are repeatedly talking about we going to part two. We're not, see, the end of the, ain't no end. The only thing comes to an end, God will destroy this planet 1,007 years after the rapture, okay? That's in the book of Revelation, if you want to read it. But then he replaces it with a new one, and then there's still the whole entire universe, okay? Now, the thing here, what I've just read in Philippians 3:20 and in 1 John, primary factor. During that millennial reign, while you are on earth, while Jesus is in Jerusalem, when he assigned you, if you're in Jerusalem and he tell you to go to America and I want you to teach Mary Jones this, that, and other, you're not going to the airport. You're not going to have to book a flight. You're not going to have to pack clothes and get your passport and sit in the airport and wait 2 hours and then get on a plane and take a 9-hour flight back to New York or California, wherever he sends you. You just say, yes, sir, take off, fly on your own power, probably at the speed faster than lightning. Lightning moves 220,000 miles per hour, okay? And you'll probably be right. The quickest flight they got now, I think, gets over there in like 6 hours. You'll get there in less than 6 milliseconds. Think about that. That's tremendous force. You become you. And then I was looking at doing some research, okay, for the sake of the new people. I want to go back and read Genesis chapter 1, and just as a revision, going back over, it says in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then I remember the first time I read this, it didn't make sense, because it seemed like God made a mess, you know. Now, I've heard various teachings on this, but I go with the one that's in the Bible. Anyway, it said, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, and then the King James said the earth was void and without form. What had happened was Satan hit the earth. An indestructible object, Satan, hit the earth at over 200,000 miles per hour. That force is what obliterated the earth. And God, what you see happening in the rest of Genesis is God reconstructing it. Now, bearing that in mind, you go back in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus said, if you had a faith of a seed of a mustard seed, if you don't doubt in your heart, you can move a mountain. Now, we wonder, because we haven't moved any mountains, and it seemed like we face challenges that we can't move. But the reality is, you would not give a child a nuclear weapon to play with, because odds are, sooner or later, he's going to want to see if it will actually do what it does. I mean, children blow up their fingers because of these fireworks. You can't. God realizes he has complete control of his emotions. He won't, okay, I'm going to just let you try it a little bit. Listen, look at what people do with the power that they have. You got threats right now that just is unconscionable. You got countries with nuclear weapons pointed at each other. This is why, go to Matthew chapter 22. This has always been in play in Matthew 22. Because if you stick with me at this time, you're going to get the picture. You know, I remember from the beginning when God gave me the revelation that he is, which was in November 1976, the church, the type of church that I was at, was what they call Jesus only. Man. But outside of that, there was these battles that would go back and forth as to, is Jesus God, is Jesus not God? And you know, and from the onset, I'm like, you know what? Does it matter to you? Why don't you ask him? That's the best thing, you know? I mean, he said, all my ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. And they say, go to Bible college and figure it out. I mean, Bible college is good. You get a good, clean education. That's practical for the world. But, okay. But and I'm telling y'all to go somewhere that I haven't even went. Matthew chapter 22, I believe I said, down to verse 37, you know, of course, you know, the religious folk, well, they wouldn't be the Sadducees. See, we got Sadducees today. They call them atheists. Sadducees were a religious group. They were honorable people, but they didn't believe in life after death. If I didn't know for sure there was no life after death, my picture would probably be on a wanted poster. And I wouldn't be out robbing regular folk. I mean, like I remember the criminals know, some of the criminals. If you're going to get 20 years in prison, rob somebody, get $500,000. Don't be, you know, robbing some old lady, snatching her purse. You're going to get 20 years. That's stupid. That's going out of the world. But anyway, I'm not encouraging crime. Don't do that, because it's got to get you, because I pray for people to get caught all the time. Anyway, it says, Okay, I'm gonna read from 34. It says, hearing that Jesus has silenced the Sadducees, in other words, he put them in their place. You know, that's not hard to do. That's them people that know, them religious folk, they remember all them scriptures and know all the word, but they don't know the meaning of it. They don't know God's plan. They never asked him. Neither did these folk. And so one of them, the expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Which is the greatest commandment of the law? Really? Seriously? We get that now. You know, you're supposed to honor the Sabbath day. And then, you know what? Then you show them scripture where it says you don't have to, but they'll deny that. And that's something. That's what religious folk do. They will go into denial where the word is concerned. Now, it would be different if I offered my opinion. But when I show you what the word said in Colossians chapter 2, that it no longer, I don't have to, in Romans chapter 14, that it's not an issue, because that wasn't the point. The Old Testament was Romans 1:20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world being seen. That's what the Old Testament is. The New Testament, which is the last testament, which is the testament that God is honoring now, it's what you go by. If God don't have a problem with it, I don't have a problem with it. If you have a problem with it, that's you, you know. Anyway, and Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the word love there is agape, okay. And without, I don't want to get too far from, well, it might be, but anyway, let me make it, if you want to know what agape, a breakdown of agape love, you got to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and read it slowly. Read the King James Version, you'll see the word charity, okay? If you understand the principle of a charity, you don't give to a charity with any expectation of a gift coming back or even appreciation, even though they give people awards for it, you know. But that's human. That's what we do, okay? But it's basically saying that what you're doing, and I just heard another preacher talking about this. When you are releasing love, when you are showing love, because in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you about love that people don't deserve. And it doesn't, it isn't, I'll do this for you. It even said that. When it uses the word vaunteth not itself, the word vaunteth basically describes not telling somebody, you are lucky for me to love you. God never does that, even though we are blessed beyond measure that he does. You know, I heard a song say, I don't know why Jesus loved me. That's an oxymoron. If it has to be a why, we would be headed for hell. Let's be real. Because if he didn't save us, direct us, correct us, restore us, bless us, forgive us, listen, we can, seriously, I understand the emotion of that people do, but I'm a word person. And, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. I would think the song should say, I'm so glad Jesus loves me. I'm so glad he died for me. Listen, what Jesus is talking about here is he's actually giving you a revelation. Once I read 1 Corinthians 13, that meant that if I love God, every day wasn't going to be sunshiny. Because you're not going to know every day. God is the only way he's going to know that you love him is when an unloving situation happened. Okay? All that was just a basis. That's why I'm enjoying this, because We all this goes right back, believe it or not, to the garden. Now, Adam, true enough, in him was this knowledge, but time hadn't evolved enough for him to get it out and get it. Time, it would come to pass. I mean, when God gave him a what? First thing he gave him was a job. God gave the man a job. God gave the man a job. For those of y'all looking for a husband, he should have a job or going to school to get one. He should be getting a skill to get one. And if you don't have a job that makes enough money, he should be going to school to get one. He should have the faith to believe that God can get him through school, to school, through school, to make enough money to have a family. I mean, that's the real. I mean, holy God. You know, I'm amazed that for so many, I'm going to tell y'all something. Listen, I'm 69, and back in the 70s, there wasn't even this kind of teaching. The only thing you heard, you went to church, the pastor said something, most people didn't know what he said. He made a lot of noise, you felt good, but they really had no revelation. They really had no knowledge. They didn't even know how to pray. They knew how to pray, but they didn't know that they were responsible for prayer. Even today, one of the reasons what's going on in the body of Christ, in the church, in the earth right now, is because folk have become so religious. God is just sitting there. It's like, I'm here ready to answer your prayer, but ain't nothing going forward. Probably that same 2% that's been praying is the one that you're going to know it. You're going to know it because they're going to be identified. God said, if you go to your closet and pray, I'm going to reward you openly. You're going to know who's praying because God is going to be blessing. Daniel was blessed in the midst of a situation that he was uptight in. Those of you who know who Daniel is. Okay. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, this Adam, this was in the spirit. See, this revelation was there. And it's amazing that these folk, they had the word. Then, and they had become, matter of fact, it was amazing. When I read the whole New Testament, whole Old Testament, one of the first things I noticed was that there were no Pharisees. They started later on. They started that organization. See, man was quick to create religion. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, all of that, they didn't, God's whole plan was just to have a temple where there would be the word given, revelation given, and then they go home and teach their family and live their thing out. It was never intended to be a religion. Let me show you something. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, and you will see these words. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Your heart is your spirit. Your spirit is the part that God put in you that houses all the intelligence that you utilize on a day-to-day basis. Your heart don't just beat because electricity is. Your spirit is putting to work all the things that your body do. You eat food, it does the chemical analysis. It can do multitask. It can multitask. You can walk and swallow food, take a shower. You can do all these things. It's when there's a disconnection, see, that we begin to have problems, or violations, we have problems. When we exceed what should be done, like when we, you know, eat marshmallows, little sugar balls. But, amen. When folk was living to be 800-900 years old, they did not eat marshmallows. They did not drink Pepsi, because they missed out. But, I mean, those things, those are killer foods. The Bible calls them deceitful meats. We think they comfort us. We think they help, but they actually extract from us. That's why you get that sluggish feeling. See, but the point that I want to make here is this has always been, loving God and loving your neighbor, you'll find many times that God, when he was giving them the law, that they had to look out for the widows, they had to look out for the children, they had to even look out for the stranger. As long as they were in striving to be in compliance and being friendly toward Israel, God wanted them to show love, because God is love, and our lives is to show love, because that's what the power is. When we show love, we are releasing power. Now, like I said, begin, because, see, God, again, God is looking at what we're going to be doing a billion years from now. And that's incredible. Think about it. The thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, you know, 1,000 years. I'm 69. I ain't even lived the whole 10th yet. That 1,000 years. See, we got to look at this. The people that come through the tribulation period are going to be regular humans. We're going to be assisting them. Now, unless I see something different, you know, I'm going to leave that particular issue alone. But the point of it is, they're doing that 1,000 years, because anybody that makes it to that, the saints that make it, they leave with the rapture. And even those that they leave with the rapture, ain't no way they're going to give up that place. They experience it by itself. Anybody that died in the Lord right now, there's no way they give up. What they're feeling, what they're experiencing right now, is no way. Because I know on their day off, and I know they get a day off, because God took a day off, they get to travel the whole universe. They get to go and actually see Alpha Centauri. They get to go down to the bottom of the ocean. They're traveling through the earth and we don't even know it. They're doing things that we think about. And they don't even have to have a vehicle to do it. And then when they go back to worship God, they even worship him even more. See, I understand why they're so crazy up in heaven, crazy in worshiping him, so wild and so enjoy it all the time, 24 hours. The Lord is good. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is... Because of what they're experiencing. Listen, this is part of the package. See, what you have in the Bible are examples of learning. You see it repeatedly. And this is the amazing thing. When you read through the Old Testament, it's the only thing you will see different from today. They have a trump in the Bible. They ain't called the name of the day. That's just one. There's a bunch of them in there. Actually, when you read the First and Second Kings, you'll see a whole bunch of them, because it starts out saying, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, key characters in the Old Testament is a guy named Daniel. Now, Daniel gets into consequence because he would not give up his obedience to God in submission to a man. Okay, now, but I'm going to skip past that. I'm going to go to when Daniel was interceding for the nation of Israel, praying for the nation of Israel, see. And God sent an angel with a revelation for him about what was going to go on, more than he asked for, really. But now, we see Daniel as the key character, okay? But you have to know that there was more than Daniel, see. And you get this when you read about people like Gideon. You know, God took a farmer and made him an army general, and they went to war and won. But that shows that God, in relation with a man, can get things done. And that's what all this is about. The key factor throughout both the Old Testament is this right here, loving God, staying consistent. Not letting my opinion supersede God's will. Because God always looks at what his will is. He don't know nothing. He don't want to know nothing. Why should he want to know nothing else? See, I am disappointed that I haven't seen the manifestation of change in our political leaders. And I'm not just, it ain't just one. One ain't the problem. It's all 536 of them. Actually, it's all 548 of them. Okay, Congress, the cabinet. Because they want to leave God out of it. But now, understand what's going on. See, the Bible, we will get through where you see spiritual beings at war over the control of nations. See, now, the only persons that can deal with that are the spiritual children of God. They're the only one authorized. I had someone confront me, say, you know, when I was talking about the royal priesthood, they say they ain't seen. I told them it was the entire body of Christ, and they say they ain't seen that. They don't say that in Scripture. Well, see, this is the, I don't have no problem. I didn't even respond to them. You want to know why? Because I know they ain't going to pray. They ain't going to even ask God. See, that's what I mean. Pharisee, that spirit of the Pharisee still exists today. That's human nature. But the point of the matter is, who can pray for the deliverance of a person who has no revelation of God? Jesus don't pray for that. He pray for us. Our job is to pray for that. He's the high priest. We're the priests. Our job is to pray for people. That's why we've been given that authorization. Listen, you should not go a day without praying for at least one person. I don't think you could be driving down the street and you see, Lord, see that man in the Jeep? I pray for him. Pray for him to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Pray for him, the eyes of his understanding to be enlightened. Pray for him to get a revelation. Pray for him to know the will of God. And pray for him to get saved. And if you're not saved, be led of the Holy Spirit. Just randomly, because that's when angels go to work. Think about it. If we don't say nothing, we don't ask nothing, they don't just randomly do stuff. Well, the ones, depends on what their assignment is. And by the way, you know, if you go to rfcm.org, Pastor Gerald has some teachings on there, a lot of teachings on there. You really, so it's a Bible college on there. But you want to understand all the different angels. I didn't believe, you know, I used to hear people talk about watchers and found out watchers are actually in the Bible. And I believe it was in the Bible. But I also think about what we're dealing with. Yeah, we got time. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, because all this comes down to loving God and understanding the love of God. We see the different examples we see in the Bible of people that obey God and don't obey God comes down to loving God. That's the heart of it. My obedience to God comes down to loving God. And life will, believe me, you know, a friend of mine got married Saturday. You know, and we like to joke. So when you get married, you marry the representative. But after you get married, the real person show up. Well, really, what goes on is that Satan shows up. I mean, you're not the pastor that did the ceremony said something that rarely I hear pastors say. He explained the fact that now, when you by yourself, when we get into prayer, we'll get into that. By yourself, you can only handle 1,000 demons. This is why. See, you'd be surprised what's going on in your benefit by other people. This is another reason why if my name pop up in your mind just out of the blue, pray. Matter of fact, this Saturday I'll be on the Running for Christ Blog Talk radio program, because I'm dealing with speaking in tongues. And on that particular, I thought I was going to be doing it on this. Eventually I will, but I'm just fine. I'm obedient. I do what God say, how he say, when he say. You know, that's the key to being blessed. Amen. And but I don't know what's going on. See, praying in tongues, just as an FYI, allows me to say, Sharon, Lord bless Sharon, and then begin to pray in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be done. He knows how to command angels. That's why it's called an angelic language. He knows exactly what needs to be done. And you develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as to how long to pray. Now, God gives regard to the fact that you have a job and things to do and family and all that. So he wants God. He's very respectful. He's very respectful. Might wake you up 3 o'clock in the night, and if he ever does that, when you lay down, just say, Lord, I thank you. I receive rest. Okay, rest will do more than sleep. You can sleep and be wake up tired, but rest, you will wake up energized. Okay, that's just a little FYI. All right, now we're back in the garden. We were around there, they about 6,000 years ago. But what is time? Because the point of the matter is, it's still some of the same characteristics going on. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Of course, if you go back to chapter 2, God just told Adam that he could eat of any tree except for the tree of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. It says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. All right. Now think about this. I mean, the Lord was saying, you know, if you've been to college, you know at some point in time, some professor, usually in psychology, attacked the Bible for some reason. I tend to piss them off. because I have an answer. Peter said to have an answer for every man of the hope that is in you. Be prepared to give every man an answer. And I'm prepared. Now listen. First off, let's look at this. This is one of two times in the Bible when an animal speaks. Now understand, this is the age of innocence here, and there's no corruption yet until after this. At this time, Adam and Eve probably had regular conversations with animals. I mean, where there was an exchange, unlike it is for us today. Okay, and some people communicate with their animals. It is no accident dogs and creatures become friendly with us and begin to understand us. Because at that point in time, Eve, now come on, ladies. Even men, a serpent shows up, even if it's small, it tends to create fear. There's no fear here, okay? There's a conversation. She's not shocked. You did not, it didn't say, and Eve screamed, and Adam ran to her rescue. She did not. She had a conversation with a serpent. Okay, think about this, folks. They've talked to lions and whatever they did. They did that. That was a common event right there because this is not unusual. This is not shocking her. She's not even ignoring him. Like, you ain't got no business talking to me. You know, you're a snake. What is you? Actually, you're a serpent. You know, what are you talking to me for? There's no conversation. Listen, if you got a pet and your dog start talking to you, I don't think for about 30 seconds you could talk because your brain would lock up. It's like, wait, man, that Numbers chapter 22 is a jackass talked to a preacher. I think God was insulting him. But that right there. So we're dealing with here intellects. Intellects. Now, what had happened with this was an early possession. The serpent agreed to allow Satan to come into him and get involved in this deception because they cannot enter this atmosphere, this realm, without a body. Okay? They need some form of entity. Now, I'm not going to get into deep detail on this particular incident, because I need you to understand. You got to think outside the box. You can't. This don't make sense. So yeah, you really believe a snake talk? Yes, I believe it. I believe that was a common event back then until man sinned. And they became enemies. A lot of things went on back then. There's no telling what Adam was able to do. We don't have all those details. Well, we have some details, okay? But the point of the matter is it goes to, this is where the commandment comes into play. Love God. Because love, see, one thing I know about love, we all know how to handle a relationship. It's a lot easier to think of, it became much easier for me to live this life thinking of God as a person with emotions that are affected by me than it was to try to remember 2,000 commandments. Yes, there are 2,000. People give different numbers, but I tell you, there are many more than 10. And this is why we have all these different religions. They can't come to an agreement on how many laws, what laws we spoke. But we all know, I know what offend people. How I say, how I relate to their laws of life. You know, just like when I come in the house. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd walk in the house with my shoes on everywhere. My wife would have a fit. That offends her. And to get me out of that, I'm the man, I bought this house, and I'm doing that. God right away said, that's my daughter. I was thinking about saying something, and he stepped in. Said, that's my daughter. I have never crossed that line ever. That's my wife. She'll tell you. She can tell. She can look at my face and see that, you know, that a nuclear bomb is inside my head about to go off, but it won't come out my mouth. So when y'all get married, remember that. That's his son. That's his daughter. See, that's one of the benefits of speaking in tongue. You go, Shingana Malanda Maraso Torobaro KBDCK Tedioto. Until you just can, then you can say something. These are what mama say. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. See, that's one of the benefits of being able to, you can pray angrily, they say. Pray. Go outside and just send none of us. I'm telling you, people don't know. God knows us. Paul said that, James said, Jesus' brother said, that the tongue is a world of iniquity. How many people have wound up in divorce court over something they said, and then when they think back, say, man, that was stupid. My whole life is just out of order, destroyed because of what I thought, just because of how I see it. Okay? But again, what stops all that is loving God. If your love for God is always out front, you'd be surprised, yes. And yes, you will suffer challenge from people. but that's part of the life. Because the reason this is happening like that is because you are a God-class being. And you're learning a lesson that you're going to need for eternity, not just to heaven, not just to make the rapture, but to be, God has made us, in Revelation, I believe, 1:8-1:9, he has made, listen, he said, made us kings and priests. Made us. Kings serve, they lead, they rule. Priests stand between man and God to intercede. He's made us, given us authority. This is not by accident. And we are at the minimal of power, because this, look at, again, we should not have the economy right now. Why do we have billionaires when people are right now? They're not even thinking to say, hey, well, okay, I got $70 billion. I'm going to give away 69 to the economy to help people with jobs. They trying to get more. Addicted to selfishness. See? And that's what the whole of the Bible is about. Because if you can't handle power at this level, how God gonna trust you at the next level? How are you gonna trust you at the next level? Okay? And I'm gonna cut off right there. I do wanna respond to a question. I didn't wanna wait to the fifth week that I had. from Linda, and that is no, because you spoke against a Christian. We all do that. You will not go to hell. It takes a lot to go to hell. As a matter of fact, I had intended to deal with that up front, but no, it takes more than that. That's anytime you do anything wrong, cause believe me, when I be in traffic and people be getting in my way, and I remember the first time the Lord, I can't remember exactly when, but I remember he got on my case because I called the person a buckethead. I would, you know, before I got saved, I would say some other thing, but, you know, he said, how do you know that's not one of my children, one of your family? See, because there's one body of Christ. So if I call a member of the body of Christ a buckethead, see, this is why it's so challenging under this administration. I have to chew my tongue and speak in tongues to deal with this administration. Believe me, I understand y'all. I really do. Believe me, nobody. But it's training. It's about power. It's about power. A good example, you get a chance, read Daniel chapter 4 and watch how Daniel handled somebody even worse than this administration. Anyway. Hope you tune in again next week. We'll continue and we'll pick up there and help you understand what is going on. Just want to take a quick moment that if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not in a covenant with God, and therefore it makes it hard for God to bless you now. God has to find a Christian to pray for you. I know you're thinking, you know, occasionally because demons ain't omnipresent, he can get by and do some things, but when they get aware, when they are made aware of what is going on. So just follow me in this prayer right quick. Amen. You don't have to understand it, but you have to believe it, and God will give you the revelation. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost, but I confess my sin to thee, and I ask you to forgive my sin and to save my soul. And I believe you, and I thank you for it. I believe I receive my salvation for it and from you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for forgiving me. Amen. You know, again, like I say, think love. Think on that commandment. Because, like I said, life is going to present you challenges. It's supposed to be that way. Next week, I'm going to get into why Satan exists. You know, there's a purpose in all that. It's not an accident. But it's part of our development for an eternity. Not just God is it. See, Jesus bought our salvation. We don't have to work to get to heaven. We don't do works to get to heaven. We do works because we're going to heaven. But you have salvation in Christ. With that short little prayer, you got salvation. Find your church, get baptized. That's just an open expression of an inward work. But this is what this is about. It's about learning to love under pressure. God does. Look at what he does with us. Amen. See you next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Your boy.
I got a plug on the love. If you need something, I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing, all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug, I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug, I found a heavenly plug.
for bucks. All he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me, and you could be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man. My God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky and make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly
plug. Got many blessings and they from them above. Because
I got a heavenly
plug.
I got a heavenly
plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.